Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you live from Building 20 again. So we are back. We had a little bit of difficulty during our first stream, and so everything crashed. There was fires. The gremlins were everywhere. I told Golnaz not to give him water before midnight, but she did anyways because she does how she does. Thank you for that. So we're going to reintroduce each other and then get into our topic today. Again, we are live. We will take some questions from you. Sorry about that. We are only 20 minutes late, which in some countries means we're almost early. So let's start over here with you, and then we'll get to introducing everybody.
Okay. So again, I'm Jordan Matheson. I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio team working on our tools for Apache Cordova. If you aren't familiar with them, the Apache Cordova platform is an open source platform for building mobile applications using web technology. So you use HTML, JavaScript, CSS to build apps that could run on like Android, iOS, and Windows devices, and we have tooling in Visual Studio to support that.
Fantastic. And you, good sir?
I'm Ricardo Minguez. You can call me Rido, and I work with Jordan and the Visual Studio team. And I'm focused on the Visual Studio and VS Code experience working with all that web stack. So focus on TypeScript, CSS, and all the tools that you need to build a real web mobile applications.
Fantastic. Let's go to our wonderful guests that are on Skype right now.
Hey, I'm Tim Lancina. I work on tooling here at Ionic, making sure that all of the developer experience with all the moving parts for the technologies that you use to build Ionic apps work well.
And hello, I'm Brandy Carney, and I work at Ionic too. And I'm working as a framework developer on Ionic 2 currently, and pretty much just adding components and fixing bugs and theming and everything.
Introducing bugs.
Introducing bugs.
But that's all our jobs as programmers, right? To introduce bugs.
Otherwise, we'd be out of jobs.
You know what I'm saying? So let's start with the sort of the base of this entire thing, right? Because it feels like Ionic is higher up the stack than if we're talking about mobile applications. So let's talk about the base real quick, and then we'll sort of get into what Ionic framework is. So Jordan, would you take that one?
Yeah. So like I briefly mentioned, Apache Cordova is an open source project that lets you build mobile apps using web technology. And so you can look at Cordova as this base layer of platform support that enables the build, this application model of basically a web view wrapped by a native application. And then it has a plugin model that lets you get at native device capabilities. So in Visual Studio, we have our tools for Apache Cordova that we call Taco. Mm-hmm. And that's tooling in Visual Studio that lets you work with Cordova to simply build these apps. And we target iOS, Android, and Windows. And that stops the kind of the base platform layer where, like you're saying now, Ionic comes in and goes to that next level above at helping you build out your application. Things like UI components, a framework to work with, as XAML does, might be familiar with model view, view model pattern. There's a different style, like supported by Angular, that Rito, Tim, and Brandy can get into here.
Okay, so now that we know we have this base, right, it seems like that's insufficient. Because now, if you just have that base, you're going to need to have tooling to make your application look like it belongs on the right phone. Because building a website for mobile, everyone knows is a website when it's a website. Yep. So can you tell us a little bit about sort of how Ionic helps us in that regard? Or what is it that it actually adds value to Apache Cordova? And we'll get everyone to discuss this.
So let me, before passing the mic to Tim, the thing with Cordova is that you have like an empty canvas where you can start with a blank HTML page. Mm-hmm. But what is different between a mobile website and a mobile app is that all your assets, HTML and everything, is self-contained, so you don't need an internet connection, and it allows an offline experience. And another paradigm that we see a lot on these kind of applications is the single page application model, where everything lives in the same page, and we use different kind of JavaScript frameworks to create the routing, the binding, templates, and all the tools that you need to be really productive creating an application. And this is where frameworks like Angular provides a lot of value, and Ionic are built on top of Angular, like single page applications providing a set of controls and different programming models that help developers to be more productive. Now, probably you can explain a little bit more about what's your programming model.
Let's start with Tim.
Yeah, definitely. So it's kind of like we're going up the stack. If Cordova gives you the base platform that allows you to use web technologies in a cross-platform way, Android, iOS, Windows, and then Angular is kind of providing the structure and programming models for creating reusable components, Ionic is then a framework built on top of Cordova and Angular that then provides the pre-built components for you. So the analogy that we kind of use is you have UIKit, you have the Android components, you have the concept of a side menu and navigation and toolbars and all that. Ionic provides you those components and those behaviors right out of the box.
Brandy, so let's see if I'm understanding this correctly. We have, at the bottom, we have Apache Cordova, but then when you're building a spa application, you need some kind of framework for routing, for binding, for templating. That's not Ionic. Is that a correct assessment? Does Ionic live higher up the stack? How do you see it?
So it depends on what you mean by routing, because Ionic does take care of navigation for you. So we do have where you can have your own navigation, you can push to different pages. It's not just a single page. It's like we have tabs and side menus and different components for navigation. But mostly it's going to add the components that you need to make it look like a mobile app. It's going to add the animation. It's going to add the UI and the modes. One of the big things in Ionic 2 actually is the different modes, which we'll get into, but basically, depending on what platform you view it on, it's going to look different. It's going to have completely different UI if you look on an Android phone versus an iOS phone versus a Windows.
Okay, so the question then for everyone then is, it feels like Ionic is obviously at the top level where you have a lot of the UI stuff, but it also bleeds into sort of the framework-y type of stuff as well. Where is the boundary between, for example, say if you're using Angular and Ionic, or is there a boundary?
Well, you can use Angular, but Angular didn't provide you that set of controls that they were talking, or that kind of theming. So in Angular, you have the application model to create templates, binding, and how to use modules and components. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, you will need to create your own controls.
Sure.
So what these guys are doing is just creating this set of library of controls that knows how to render to specific platforms on top of the Angular programming model using components.
Awesome. Tim, you were going to say something, but...
No, that was basically what I was going to say is, you know, hypothetically, we could implement, if some, you know, new framework came out similar to Angular, you could, in theory, implement the Ionic controls and application behaviors on top of some hypothetical other framework as well. So there is some bleed between responsibilities, but it's a lot of UI and behavior stuff.
Got it.
And what's really cool about Ionic is that you really have 100% code sharing between platforms. So the same app with the same code base will be run and will adapt to different mobile, platforms like iOS, Android, or Windows with minimal effort.
And I think, Brandy, you kind of touched on something before we sort of cut you off there. You talked about animations. Can you tell us about that? Because that seems to be an important sort of aspect of UI on mobile devices.
So basically, one of the biggest things is being able to transition properly between pages. And we pretty much take care of that for you. So we have like a navigation system where you can push a page or pop a page to go back. And basically, whenever you push a page, it's going to transition the page in based on the platform you're on. iOS is pretty complex with their animations or transitions. And so they transition the page, the title and the nav bar, the back button, everything transitions in. And we handle all of that for you. Android's different. The material design just kind of pops up and Windows just pops in. Like, just basically, they all have different animations and we go ahead and take care of every animation for you.
And so traditionally, what you're saying, Brandy, is that if you were developing for each of these things, even if it was a spa-type application, you're saying that you would have to take care to make sure that the animations happen the way they happen on each device. Otherwise, you're going to feel weirdness.
Yeah, so we pretty much just try to make it look as native as possible, but you can still write it with one code base, and it just looks native on each platform.
So as we go, just FYI, this is live. I know we were a little bit live before too, but that was only half live. But now we're live. So please, if you have any questions, have them come in. We're going to answer them because we have some experts here on building mobile applications with Ionic Framework. So before the questions start coming in, we mentioned briefly, but I think we should bear this out a little bit more. You talked about Ionic 2, so that means that there must be an Ionic 1.
Yes.
And it must mean that we're in some kind of fun transition, kind of like we're kind of in a fun transition between Angular 1 and Angular 2. Let's talk a little bit about sort of what's there now. You mentioned Ionic 1.3, and then let's talk about what's coming in Ionic 2. So who wants to take that? We have some Ionic developers here.
I can take it.
Yes, Brandy.
Okay. So Ionic 1 was actually built on top of Angular 1, and Ionic 1 is stable. It works great. I've built applications with it. Will not say anything bad about it. It's great. Tons of people are still using it. However, we wanted to do more with Ionic 2, make it more custom, improve transitions, and just overall improve some problem areas that we had with Ionic 1. So one of the big things was performance with Ionic 2. We're using Angular 2 under the hood. So Angular 2, they've claimed to be 5 times faster than Angular 1. So we should get some performance boost with that. We've added new components. We have segments now. We have material design styling, which was a big one. What else have we added?
Windows platform support as a first-class citizen in Ionic 2. That's a big
one. True. Sorry, I forgot about that. I added it.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've written stuff that I've wanted to forget about. Not that yours is. Yours is probably great. My stuff sucks sometimes, so.
So Ionic 2 is actually in beta right now. I'm allowed to say this now, so I'm going to go ahead and spill the beans that we're shooting for a mid-June release candidate. So.
Wow, we're making news, people.
Cool.
This is fantastic. That's awesome. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say no, deadline for a release yet, but release candidate, and then we'll go from there.
Awesome. So Ionic 1, then, if I'm understanding it right, was built on top of Angular 1.
Right. And correct.
Ionic 2 is going to be built on top of Angular 2. Plus, you're getting some improvements, not only from the Angular 2 framework, but also you're adding some additional theming, etc., in Ionic. Okay,
yeah.
So we've talked a lot about this stuff. We have the first question coming in from Steve. Do you foresee Cordova building up features that Ionic provides? I guess we can't talk for Cordova. I mean, I don't know. The question again, do you foresee Cordova building up features that Ionic provides?
It's a good question. I think I know what Steve this is too, because we've kind of talked like that before. So our team, we have core committers in the Cordova project. Mm-hmm. So we could, if I had something there to talk about on this subject, we're in that space, but I can't think of anything particular right now. Cordova is wisely, I would say, focused on being that enabling platform. So maybe some things could be there in the future that help enable us as tooling vendors to do better tooling. But Cordova hasn't been that thing to get into the framework level. It's like, let's have a nice, I think it's been good so far that it tries to be a nice solid base platform that all of us can build this ecosystem around.
Oh, the only area that I think that could be something interesting is in the plugins model. So Ionic creates a wrapper around some of the Cordova core plugins.
Uh-huh.
And maybe it's something that we can look into to see if we can provide a better experience trying to follow the model that they are using.
And the second part of the question is, can I add Ionic to my existing Taco project and expect to transition to Ionic over time incrementally? So if they already have a project that they've built, using the tools for Apache Cordova, can they sort of incrementally add Ionic, like the goodness that is in Ionic, like their transitions, their theming, et cetera? Can they add it incrementally?
Brandy, you want to take that from a theme perspective? Because this kind of has two flavors, or kind of two incremental paths, depending on if you're using Ionic 1 or Ionic 2. But in both cases, you could easily add the styles incrementally and then start to add the logic. But the question is, are you already using Angular in your application?
Yes. So it kind of depends on how you want to transition. What are you using? Are you just using HTML, CSS, and JavaScript right now? I think transitioning from just JavaScript to Angular 2 is a pretty easy path. Just me personally, I think the syntax is pretty simple. Transitioning to theming, it's really just how you set up your project, how you want to build your project. We use an app folder that pretty much just copies everything into a www folder so that it works with Cordova still. And that's really Tim's thing, but I just stole it.
Yeah, no, no, that's fine. From a tooling perspective, there are kind of different implications. But yeah, I mean, there's if you're coming from an existing Angular application that you've built on top of Cordova, then absolutely.
It's just a question of just changing the views. Is that, would that be a good assessment?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. And Ionic uses kind of a custom component model in some cases that you would have to convert over. But for the most part, the syntax is exactly the same for, you're writing Angular syntax for both Ionic 1 and Ionic 2 in most cases.
Got it. The next question is coming in from Kevin. What's the difference in startup or load time between Ionic and a native app? And this question, invariably, we always are going to get it whenever mm-hmm. we talk about building stuff on top of Cordova as opposed to native, right? There's always like, well, is it going to be slow? So I think that's the crux of the question. What say you?
We've done some research about it before, but I'm curious, Tim or Brandy, if you have looked at that in recent history or stuff around Ionic 2 and how that's looking to you.
I have not looked into it, and I don't know if you guys, the Cordova experts, know anything about kind of the startup or load time of the UI WebView or WK WebView or what WebView component, whatever, in general, because there may be some implications for Cordova as a platform. I'm not sure the numbers there, but in terms of kind of, you know, can you build this progressive app that is very quick to render and then, you know, progressively enhances itself? It basically is like how you design your app. You know, there are native apps that are slow to load because they need assets, and there are web apps that are, you know, incredibly fast to render as well.
So the answer, as always, is it depends.
Yes.
It really does. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no hard and fast answer.
Yeah, to give a one closer to direct answer as far as that, like specifically that load time, because that was part of what the question was about. We have a video from the Build conference a year ago that actually is our performance talk, and I wasn't the one that did that talk, and I don't remember any of the raw numbers. But what we looked at were these common held concerns that there was a huge performance difference. And what we found is that there was a minor difference in that load time with modern devices now, a minor difference in the load time and the web view being loaded. Where performance is an issue is sort of like Tim was saying here, it depends on how the patterns you follow. So for example, there are ways to work with the DOM in the browser that are really inefficient. You put a whole bunch of elements in the page and you got a lot of IDs, and it's a very full tree for the DOM as you do it. And if you use it inefficiently, the app is slow, and that can give web applications a bad rep over time. Frameworks like Ionic are taking care of some of those things for you if you work at the higher level, so you don't have to know that like this list view component is how it's rendering the elements in the page. So I'm jumping around a little bit there, but for example, if you had a list of 1,000 items and there were 1,000 like div elements on your HTML page, and you try to scroll through that and do some work, they may get slower the more elements you add. Something like Ionic can abstract that out, and it can actually smartly swap in elements and use the DOM in an efficient manner. So using frameworks was a great way to save on that performance, but you could code a very slow app using even some common web developer practices. So it's a good video to look back at to get an idea of what we found there.
So your users aren't going to be like, oh man, another HTML5 spa app loading up in my iOS. They're not going to be thinking that. I mean, either you're using good practices or you're not, and that's not going to make a difference whether you're native or using these kind of frameworks. Is that correct?
Yeah, but to be clear, it also depends on your needs. You're not typically going to build a game using the web technology and get the raw performance you'd get out of, you know, something more like Unity. So you have to evaluate it for your own app needs, too, because there can be differences.
Ryan is actually on there. He says, I can answer about the perf for startup time. Thanks, Ryan. Cordova startup time is the same for both iOS and Windows at just under 500 milliseconds. Cordova on Android is a bit slower, almost 1 second.
There you go. Ryan's going to give the talk to
you. Yeah, there you go. So here's some more questions, and there's a lot of them, by the way. Just keep the questions coming in. We obviously want to optimize for your questions. We can show some demos or do some other stuff, but if there's questions that are more pressing, we're going to take those first. Here's Jim. I've been using the VS Code Cordova Tools extension, which is awesome. Is there any plan for deeper integration between Ionic and VS Code?
Sure, we have plans. And right now we have the support for Ionic 1. So you can have some IntelliSense, not only for the TypeScript or JavaScript, also for HTML, and integration in the command palette to run some of the most popular Ionic commands like Ionic Serve. Mm-hmm. And once Ionic 2 becomes more and more stable, a release candidate, we will update our support for Ionic 2. So right now, the VS Code Cordova extensions support Ionic 1. Mm-hmm. But we have plans, and we will update to support Ionic 2.
Fantastic. Here's another question from Rand Brown, which is, look, honestly, I had this exact same question. I got to do some interviews with Anders about what's coming new in TypeScript 2. Mm-hmm. And as I was talking to him, in my brain, I was thinking, how do I set these projects up? And so his question is this: can you give guidance for best practices starting the project, managing files, platforms, should you use Bower NPM packages, Cordova plugins, and so on? I find myself bouncing between VS and command line and often unsure the correct way to add a new package or plugin. Do you recommend using the Ionic CLI, command line interface, or Visual Studio, combination of both? There's got to be some guidance out there, because it feels like, look, between us, you know, girls kind of thing, the first I'm like, okay, I'm going to build one of these things, and I open Visual Studio Code because I want to be cool, you know, and use like a cool hipster thing, and I'm like, where's my file new project?
Yeah, so I think that the one awesome feature from the Ionic CLI is the support for templates. It's something that's also in Cordova, but the Ionic CLI allows you to start from a good starting point where you can choose the side menu or the tabs template, and you have like your canvas, and you can start doing something. They also added the feature to add individual items, the Ionic G, right, where you can add just one page or one component, and it will help you a lot. For the VS, Visual Studio, we are working on templates. We released the Ionic 1 templates, and we will do the same thing for Ionic 2, so you will have the file new experience, as you prefer, and we will use the same code for both starter points. So they are doing a great job with what they call the starter apps, right? So the CLI is using some starter apps so will help users to start development. Some news that we have here is that right now we published, I think that it was yesterday, new templates in GitHub for using Ionic 1 with TypeScript. And that's something that it's really cool, because in Ionic 2, the preferred language will be TypeScript rather than ECMAScript 6.
Okay.
Because Angular 2 is using some syntax like decorators and something that we think that works much better in TypeScript, the tooling that we have today.
All right, let's get Tim and Brandy to comment, because you folks work on the actual Ionic framework. Why don't you tell us sort of in your mind, best practices for starting up these projects, managing files, etc.?
Yeah, definitely. So this is something that's also kind of the Angular 2 with a specific focus on Ionic 2 right now. So everything that we're discussing right now is kind of related to Ionic 2 and the future of Ionic 2 and Angular 2. So to kind of just sum up what Rito was saying, the best workflow right now from the CLI is you use the Ionic CLI to start your project and then kind of either generate it or scaffold it out. And then you can open that up in VS Code and you'll automatically have all the typing related benefits. So IntelliSense, autocomplete, type checking, all that kind of stuff. And then with the plan being or already existing for Ionic 1, but then Ionic 2 having, you know, the file new whatever workflow in Visual Studio. So kind of the beefier, more integrated development experience. With regards to kind of best practices and like getting your project set up, that's really the nice thing about starting from the Ionic CLI is that you just run one command and then you have this working template and setup for your project with kind of the best practices for directory structure and kind of following the style guide and stuff like that. That then, you know, will work for you as your app grows, and along with all the tooling and the IDE related stuff. So this is something that has changed a decent amount with Angular 2 in kind of recent times as well. And Angular is working on their own awesome CLI, which is really cool. So yeah, there will be kind of some implications going forward because both softwares are in beta as to like what the best practices are for your project and your project setup. But Brandy, we track all that.
Sorry, thank you, Tim. Brandy, they mentioned you guys have mentioned a lot about the CLI. Can you tell us sort of what the Ionic CLI does, like over good overview?
Yeah. So the CLI, the Ionic CLI, basically does a lot. You can type Ionic help to see all of the commands, but in general, it allows you to just type Ionic start, my project, and then tabs, and it'll start a project for you using the tabs starter. You can do the generate, like they were saying, where you can just say Ionic generate page, and then the name of your page, and it'll add a page with the TypeScript or JavaScript file and the SAS file. It takes care of everything. Ionic serve, it loads a browser for you, it builds your project. And
would
then,
this, sorry to cut you off, Randy, would this be something that would make sense to kind of demo, just to kind of see how easy it is for users to get up and running?
That's a good idea.
But before going to the demo, I'd like just to jump in to clarify about that interoperability between the CLI and the IDE or VS Code, not only for coding, but also for adding packages, because I hear something, the question about how to deal with Bower and NPM. In Angular 2 and Ionic 2, we are not using Bower, so everything comes from NPM. Visual Studio supports NPM in a way that you add more packages to your package.json, we will restore the packages from you. And we also have support for gulp tasks using the Task Runner Explorer. Yesterday, I published a blog post explaining some tricks that you should follow if you want to have good interoperability between the CLI and the IDE. We know that a lot of users, IDE users, prefer to stay on the IDE without going to the command line, and that's our goal, and we are working with that direction right now. For other users that prefer lightweight editors like VS Code, the CLI is fine. So what we are working is to ensure that the same code base can be used from different development workflows and will work for different people on different kind of environment. So I'm working with Tim and working from Windows, they're working from Mac, they're working with VS Code and working with Visual Studio, and everything works perfectly.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you mentioned that you do have a CLI, because now you can see you have a great array of choices, whether you want to start from the command line interface or whether you want to use Visual Studio or you want to use both somehow.
Yes.
You can do that. So as before we get into some demos about the tooling and what are some of the cool things, I'm kind of curious about that now. Kevin asks, is there a demo app that shows a fast startup time out there? I noticed a 5-second load time on the app I'm building right now, which is, I mean, we don't know how he's building it, but the question is, even more to the root of his question, do you have some tips on things that you can do performance-wise for these applications to be a little bit snappier? And are there examples of applications, like for example, if you're building a game and you're trying to use Canvas, yeah, not so much, it's not gonna work as well. But what are some tips that you have? And then also, what are some apps that you should think hard about? Maybe it's not a good place to use it.
So, not to push off the question, but I would say I don't think, like we're necessarily experts on it, so I would refer toward our build video from last year that gives a full hour or 75 minutes of the tips. Mm-hmm. That would be good to look at. One of the key pieces of advice is around use a framework that is already doing that optimization for you.
Right.
And so you might look for some examples out there of apps, and there are some for Ionic that people build out, contact manager apps or mini CRM tools. You could look at some of those in general and kind of see how you feel they perform. I can't think off the top of my head of any benchmark examples that we could give. So that would be an interesting one to follow up with so we can take a note, unless you guys have something to add in there.
I'm just going to chime in that this is kind of an area that Angular 2 has been heavily invested in, especially recently, kind of supporting universal apps, allowing server-side pre-rendering so that your app time to boot, that then setting up the Angular bindings and all that magic of change detection so that your app appears really responsive and fast is very snappy and fast. So between kind of optimizing for the code size, meaning it loads quickly, and then also allowing you to optimize various parts of loading the app, that's an area that they've been working on heavily.
Awesome. So, again, we still want your questions. Have them come in. These are all excellent questions, and we want more. But I thought maybe now we should transition a little to actually get a sense for how these things work, both in Visual Studio and Visual Studio Code. And you have a Mac here, so you can actually show how these things work to get started. So do you have any kind of demo to show us tooling? Yeah.
Yes, but before going to the tool, I'd like to introduce the app that we are going to build.
Oh, absolutely.
With the tools. So Ionic has the Ionic Conference app. It's like the showcase app for Ionic 2. Mm-hmm. And what we did 2 months ago was for the Build 2016 conference, we took that app and had some enhancements to it, integrating with Azure. So we enable local storage, authentication using the Azure Mobile App Service, and some cloud storage and synchronization to synchronize your favorites. So if you want, I can show you the app.
Let's see it on the screen so everyone can see it.
So here is the app. The app is running on my device. You can see the app using a mirroring tool, and you can see the performance that you have. Here I'm refreshing, I have a side menu, I can move the side menu, switch between favorites, use some controls that we have here that looks like native. This is all HTML.
So can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
So is this the actual app running and you're just mirroring it on the map? Okay, so this is not like you're running it from here. This is the actual thing.
This is the performance, live data, real app, everything. So here are no emulators, nothing. So you can see that you have like controls that looks like native. For example, you can add one session. Well, you can see the scrolling, that it's not bad. You can add a favorite like this, or navigate, and you will see that everything looks like native. And now let's see how we build this application.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so let's start with Tim. Do you want to show your VS Code and see?
Yeah, definitely. Let's kind of do the dual kind of getting up and running with the Ionic CLI.
Are you sharing your screen?
Yeah, you need to show your screen, so we will let you know when we start seeing things.
There you go.
It's coming.
All right, can you guys see my screen?
About a little bit more. It's pushing it up through the internet as we speak. My head is a little thick, and so those bits are probably being impeded.
A series of tubes. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some stuff in there. So why don't you describe the app from your perspective as it gets loaded?
Sure, yeah. So what we have here is the Build 2016 conference app already loaded in Visual Studio Code. So what we're going to do is get it set up. VS Code is really awesome in that it can auto-detect build tasks, which is really nice. So
would you mind making your font a little bit bigger, my friend?
Let's see. I have my resolution a little smaller.
That's okay. I think you do like Control Plus or something to make it
come on.
Plus. My key binding's remapped.
Oh yeah, you're like the cool dev, right? It uses Vim
and
stuff.
Here we go. I know. Better.
A little bit bigger.
There you go.
All righty. Can you guys see? Okay.
Yeah, looks good.
Okay, cool. So then we're gonna use Visual Studio Code to set up the task runner, which is really nice, and every Ionic starter project, we mentioned before that you can use the CLI to get kind of a working build setup. So every time you use the CLI to start a new Ionic app, it comes with a pre-configured gulp file that's going to help you do the build. So when you're developing with a language like TypeScript, you necessarily need a build task. And that kind of touches on the point that Rita was making before, where we're moving off of Bower in favor of everything for NPM. Because of this necessary build step, you now can look for all your code just in one managed package location. So, okay, code has detected that we have a gulp file and there's a build task in it. One of the things that the Ionic CLI does is adds live reload support. So what I'm going to do is actually kind of hack on this command that it's gotten set up. So this is the default setup for build tasks, which is nice. But I'm now going to edit it to use the Ionic command, which will hook into gulp. So we're going to run the Ionic serve command. I also just installed the Code Vim extension, which I am very much liking. So we'll showcase one of the Ionic features from the CLI called Lab, which is really nice, and you'll see in a second. Displays the various platform styles side by side. Okay, so we've now set it. Okay, this is a watching command. We're going to watch for changes. We're going to use the Ionic Lab argument on the serve command, and we're going to, when we run our build, run Ionic. So let's use code, and honestly, chime in if I'm going too fast or if anything doesn't make sense. But let's execute our build task. There we go. So now what it's doing is it's going to compile all your SAS files. Every Ionic app uses SAS, the CSS language, I would say, that then gets compiled down to CSS, and then copying the assets into the proper location. For Cordova, there's a convention that your files, your app files, live in the www folder. So www is our output. And so then what you've got is each of the platform styles loaded side by side of this build 2016 conference app. And you can compare the styles as you make changes. I think Brandy is going to talk at some point about theming and how theming works, especially in a cross-platform environment, for developing across multiple platforms with the exact same code base.
And this Ionic Lab is something that you build in order to help us see what's going on at the same time. This is excellent.
Yeah, so what's going on here is this Ionic code is exactly the same. So it's kind of the write once, run everywhere. And what Ionic is doing is detecting the various platform styles and then applying the proper transition animations between Material Design and iOS, Windows Phone, etc. And then you can see that all side by side. So if you're making styling changes, then you can see it across all of them.
I just want to jump in, sorry.
Yeah, go.
Just to jump in for a second, there's actually some styling that's been changed for the Material Design mode in this conference app. So there's a little bit of differences in the code, but it's just with the theming, and I'll show you why and how.
That there's some custom theming going on.
Mm-hmm. Just for Material Design.
Yeah, so then code now has a long-running watch task. So if I make changes to the code, say I add a console log in the entry point of the app, and we can see that the changes are all reflected right away. My computer's going a little slow because Skype is hogging a lot of resources. No, it's all good. There we go. And so normally, unless you're doing theming, you probably won't run the lab command. You would just run whatever platform you're working on. And then, yeah, you can see all those changes right away in your browser. So yeah, I'm happy to continue kind of drilling down on the tooling and kind of go over the various tooling related stuff, or we can move on to theming. I don't know. Seth, what are your thoughts on time?
Because I know. So my question for you is the following. So this is obviously written in TypeScript. Is that correct?
Yep.
And then the second question is this available somewhere where people can go and look at this source code offline? Because I feel like it feels like a fairly complete application. I mean, we should probably drill into it really quickly and say, here's the basic layout, etc. But if people want to dig into it further, is this available somewhere to look at?
Yeah, sure, Rito, I believe it's in the Microsoft. It's under the Microsoft namespace in GitHub, under build 2016 VS Mobile. So if people want to poke around, it's located on GitHub under the Microsoft organization. Mm-hmm. And then also the Ionic Conference app, which is kind of our showcase app for the various Ionic behaviors, is located under the the Ionic organization named GitHub.
Driftyco.
Oh, it's Driftyco. Yeah, the old organization name.
Fantastic.
So yeah, Seth, to your point that it's using TypeScript, one of the really nice things is, you know, you run one command to get started with the Ionic CLI, and then you have these all the TypeScript sources, which gives you just right out of the box. I just opened this straight up in VS Code, and then you get the IntelliSense just right out of the bag, which is really helpful. And I actually find myself when I'm not working on TypeScript projects kind of missing this. You know, you're importing a module, and you then need to, you know, use some API or call some method or function, and then it's like, okay, what were the parameters again, or, you know, various development-related issues. And the nice thing is that TypeScript just works awesome out of the box with VS Code. So all those typings come as part of Ionic, platform ready. This is part of the Ionic API, and it gives you some nice code hints and description of the method and stuff like that.
Nice. So I know it's 11 o'clock, but we're going to go just a little bit over, if that's okay with everybody, because we kind of started a little late. Remember, Golnaz gave the gremlin some water, told her not to, but, you know, she does what she does. Tim, would you give us a five-minute overview of the project structure? And then we're going to turn it over to Brandy to start talking about some of the theming stuff that she mentioned, because I think that's important, very important as well.
Yeah, definitely. So let's just kind of expand this side menu. And this is something that is potentially subject to change as kind of Angular 2 best practices emerge. But the basic Ionic project structure is that you have your app folder, which you can think of as your source folder. And then the Cordova convention of having your files that will be loaded in the web view when it's on a native device live in the www folder. So any files that you want to be loaded in that web view on the native device need to make their way to www. So that is our distribution target. So all the files in app here, you have your main app entry point. This is the app.ts file. And then the basically main template for your app is app.html. And then as part of the navigation, you have various pages that you can navigate through. So each page has an associated HTML template. You can see various Ionic components being used. Then each page also has its own associated SAS file with page-specific themes. And then the controller code for each page. So then these are the pages. And then if you have services in Angular, they're called providers. Then they have their own specific directory. And then finally, the theming page is for more app-specific or platform-specific styles. And I don't want to step on Brandy's toes on this one because this is her area of expertise.
Okay, so let's get into sort of the theming. But before we do, for those that aren't familiar with these style of projects, you said the target is the www folder. So eventually you're running like some gulp task that's converting the TypeScript files into JavaScript, that's converting the SAS into CSS, and sort of stitching everything together. Is that a fair assessment?
Yep, exactly. So then those source files are, the gulp file is not too intimidating. It's pretty short. Ionic ships with some default tasks that handle your build for you. So you have your basic SAS and then copying your static assets into www if you need to, bundling and transpiling if you're using ES6 or ECMAScript 2015 or whatever have you, or TypeScript. TypeScript is honestly, because of the tooling benefits, the main way to go. So that all gets compiled down, bundled up, and shipped off to your www folder, where then the Cordova build process takes over, and then those files and assets are copied into their various respective native directories to be served on the native devices.
Perfect. So I know this is the part that we are excited about as programmers, but let's get into the part that actually matters. Brandy, will you tell us a little bit about theming? Because really nobody, like my user's not like, hey, you know, are you using Angular 2? Because I'm going to be upset, you know. Let's get into the real sort of crux of what's important. Brandy, why don't you tell us a little bit about theming?
Okay, so there is a lot going on with theming in Ionic 2. Can you see my screen? Okay, So first I want to show you how you get to the docs for our V2. So we can go to ionicframework.com. And then we have this little beta 2 icon right here, kind of takes you to docs V2. And then we have a theming section on the side. So this will go over more in detail, but basically we have, let me start with modes. So we have different modes, I think I've already said a few times, but we have the iOS mode, the material design mode, and the Windows platform mode. And basically, depending on what platform you're on, it'll change the mode. So this chart here just shows what mode we use by default for each platform. So if you view it on a desktop browser, it's going to use the material design mode. However, if you view it on a Windows device and you're inside of Cordova or Electron, it should be using the Windows mode. So I have Windows Lab running too, just like Tim did. That's showing them side by side. I've stripped all of the styling that was added to make material design a little bit custom. Is this bothering anybody? I don't know if you can see that. Okay. So I've stripped all of the styling so that these are now pretty much themed the exact same way. And so I'm going to show you now how the config works. So one of the things that we have is we have a config object that you can pass in your app. So this is how it looks. This is your app component, which is your app TS folder here. And you can pretty much pass any of these properties to change the way your app performs on different platforms. This is just a table that goes over what each property is, basically, just a description of each property. And then on the platform documentation, it shows what the default value is for each mode.
And sorry to interrupt you, Brandy, just a little background context. That app decorator that you see is basically metadata that is attached to the root component of your app. So that's where the config object lives, is as a metadata kind of annotation to the root component of your app.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, tell me if anything doesn't make sense. I'm trying to like jump through it all.
Makes sense. I mean, I'm looking at this and it seems to me that Ionic, what you're doing is you're effectively telling it, here's how I want my app to be, and you're telling it at the root place, and then things just happen. Mm-hmm. Right? That's my sense, and I like that as a developer.
So one of the cool things you can do is you can change the layout of the tabs. So we're going to do, I guess I can just do it here. So if you wanted it to affect every mode, you can just put it directly in the config. What is it right now, top? So I'm going to change it to icon bottom. And I just have the Ionic serve running.
Watch that's happening. That's redoing everything every time you make a change.
Yeah, and usually I'm impatient and I just refresh.
I'm with you.
So I just switched the icons. So now they're at the bottom for each. See how the icons underneath the text on the tabs? So I just did that, and then say we're like, oh, well, never mind. I actually want Android to hide the icons. I don't want it to change at all. Look at the nice little error it just gave me. So now I'm going to hide the icons, just the same exact property, but it's inside of a platform Android.
While we're waiting, just a nice plug for VS Code in that it's a lightweight editor. You can just load up any project. You know, it's not this beefy IDE, but you get all the kind of power of IntelliSense with TypeScript, which is just awesome. It's so nice.
Okay, so what I just did there, you can see now the icons are hidden for just Android, but on Windows, they're still showing.
Got it.
Okay, and so that's like some of the power of config, and there's a ton of properties you can do. They're all in the API documentation, and there's a description for each one. So you can change all of our defaults. And then the other thing we can do is we can change the colors. So there's a default colors map that comes, and this is going to be in the app.variables.sass file. Oops, I already did it. Hold on, don't look. You don't see that. I was testing stuff earlier. Okay, so we have our default colors that come with each Ionic starter app, and these are the default ones, primary through dark, and you can remove these, change them. We've added some here to the conference app. You can pretty much have whatever colors you want. And the way it works is you just take this color and you add it as an attribute to the different components. This is probably something that will be changing, but you know, for now this works. So I'm going to go into the schedule template because that's the first page. That's our first tab. And actually, I'm going to add it to the speakers because I want to do something else to that one. So let's add secondary to the speakers page. And now it's refreshing. So now the speakers page has a background with a green nav bar up here, and you can see that it doesn't affect any other page. It's just the speakers page that we just changed. We added it directly to that nav bar. And so the cool thing about this is you can change the secondary color to whatever you'd like. I'm just going to leave it for now, but that's where this color is coming from. And basically what happens is on the Ionic side, we have where we call a function that determines what colors we want this text and the buttons to be. So that's why you get the white text. I guess I could change it. Let's see. Oops, wrong one. Huh.
Oh, okay. No. We almost saw all your Slack conversations.
So let's just change it to light pink because I don't feel like memorizing text colors. So we've just changed it to light pink. So now you see how the text and icons have changed to a black. This function that we call basically determines the text color based on the red, green, blue, and brightness of background of the toolbar. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like how it's like in one place, right? It's not because, oh no, I forgot to change it in this one little thing, and then you publish the app and then you look like a fool, like I would probably do. You're putting in all these main theme colors in one place, and then you're using that naming convention in all of the sort of views and pages, correct?
So one of the cool things that we've just recently added is passing a base and a contrast color. So basically, if you don't like our algorithm, think that the black looks horrible on the pink and it's just the ugliest thing you've ever seen, you can change it to where you're passing a base and a contrast. And the contrast on most components is going to be used as the text color. So to me, this isn't beautiful, but you get the point. So we now have pink and blue.
Yeah.
So okay, that's awesome. So anything else on the theming side that you find interesting before we take some more questions that
okay,
we should know
about?
Okay,
let me do one more thing because I could go on with theming forever. But so the one thing is the primary color is used by default for most of our components. So this blue color that you see all over the place, here, everywhere, that's our primary color. You can change it to whatever you want. So if you change it here to purple, you'll see, I refreshed at the same time. You'll see that it's going to change the blue everywhere to be using that purple color. So the easiest way to theme your app is to just change the primary color, and now it uses your color everywhere.
Okay. That's awesome. So that's really cool, and it's really cool how you sort of define it all in one place. Well, now that we've looked at the Visual Studio Code stuff, let's take like two questions, and then let's spend the last couple of minutes on the Visual Studio stuff.
Sure.
I'm sure there's stuff there as well. Yeah. So the question is from Susan. You mentioned the Vim plugin. Are there any other plugins that you're using with code? Or is there a place where we can go look at Visual Studio Code plugins somewhere?
Well, it's the extension side, so you can go to Visual Studio Code Extensions and look for Cordova, and it's all you need to get that extension installed.
Yeah, if you go to code.visualstudio.com, you should find from there a link to extensions, and that will take you to our marketplace, and from there you could find like the Vim extension. There's a Cordova extension to help with launching off to the different devices, and a myriad of other extensions in there that you might find useful.
Excellent. And then the next question is, do device API, live camera, etc., error out in the Ionic serve mode? Can you fix that? I mean, if someone's trying to test their device capabilities, you can't do that with Ionic serve. You have to go directly to the device. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep. If a plugin supports the browser platform, which is really an awesome Cordova feature that lets plugins kind of provide browser mocks for whatever APIs don't exist. And in some cases, for things like geolocation, there are actual APIs in the browser. And you can run, you can target the browser platform from Ionic as well.
Yeah, you can use another tools like Ripple, that is the tool that we integrate in Visual Studio for browser development, that allows you to simulate some plugins. We are working to improve that experience, and well, we will show you when we have something to show. But the idea is that we will intercepting the calls, the JavaScript call that should go to native, and provide fake values with a kind of simulation for allow you to still using the browser to see your app while you are doing native calls.
Awesome. Well, let's get into some Visual Studio stuff. What do we have to show there? Because we looked at the experience with Visual Studio Code. Looks great. Let's see what the experience is like using Visual Studio. We have about maybe 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So it's enough. So in Visual Studio, we will have the same you will see the same folder with everything. And Cordova projects in Visual Studio allows you to show all the files that are in that folder, so it's what we are showing here. And you will see that we have this Task Runner Explorer where you can use the same gulp tasks that Tim was showing in VS Code, so this is exactly the same. And all the targets that you can use to see your application on the back. So let's use Ripple, because someone were asking about how to deal with native capabilities. So in this case, I'm going to run Ripple here. Ripple runs in Chrome, and it has this ability to show some, for example, battery status, accelerometer. So if you are using Cordova plugins that use these capabilities, you can simulate the behavior of these capabilities from here.
Right.
We also have live reload. So if I run the watch task from VS, let's this side by side. So you will see that every change that I do will be reflected here in the browser immediately. Well, this is the first time. It will take some time to create the first time the bundle. That's here, and now let's try to do some change. We can go to our tabs page here, and let's do some change. In the app, let's change the name of the menu.
So effectively, it's like the same sort of, it looks the same, but the tooling is integrated in a different way.
Yeah. Okay. So here, TypeScript works, IntelliSense, debugging, and what we have from Visual Studio that is not in VS Code is that you can land and attach to the three platforms, so Android, iOS with remote build, or Windows. So, well, I don't know why the demo is not working right now, but if I make a change, okay. So here I have my menu, let's say instead of map, let's say that I want to change for where. Save, nothing else. The watch run will pick up this change, we'll reload, and we'll have the same live reload experience, and here we will see the where instead of map. So this is more or less the same experience that you have for VS Code, but with all the commodities and tools that you know in Visual Studio.
And and like you said before, we're also going to be looking out for cool new things that work with Ionic too.
Yes, example. Yes. So we will add templates, we will add support for the live reload experience, we will add support for plugin simulation, and all the cool stuff that you need to be successful using Visual Studio.
Awesome. Well, we are almost out of time. I feel like we should give our guests the last word. We'll start with Tim, sort of just to summarize, and then we'll finish up. Brandy, you'll have the last word.
Go ahead, Tim.
Last word. Only that we're excited to keep working with the Visual Studio tools to make sure that everything works as seamlessly as possible. Ionic's main goal is to make app development as dead simple as possible. So it's been a nice collaboration, and we're excited to see where it goes with Ionic too.
Brandy.
Yeah, so I just want to say thank you for letting me show off theming, and it's going to be great working with you guys, and it's been really great working with all of our users, everybody that's contributed and just given feedback and let us know what we could do better. So thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Brandy, Tim, and Rito. We have been learning about the Ionic framework building on top of Apache Cordova. Hopefully this has been useful. We've tried to get to as many questions as we could. This is Channel 9 Live. You are watching the Connect Live series here on Channel 9. My name is Seth Juarez. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.